You're ready.
Okay, it's time to call our meeting to order.
Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for the day that you have blessed us all with. We ask your guiding presence and be with us tonight as we meet and oversee the things going on in the school district here with students and faculty, and give us the wisdom and discernment as we look at things going on and things to be discussed, and be with our schools and our communities, schools, kids and their families, our faculty, and give everyone the strength to finish well this year before the break coming up. Lead us and guide us. In Christ's name, amen. Amen.
There's no one here for the audience portion, correct?
Correct.
Okay. But we do need to open for a public meeting to discuss the first reading, if you don't mind doing that.
Need a motion to open for a public meeting, or we just need to say now we're in the public
meeting? No, we just need to say we're in the public meeting.
Okay, now I guess we need to discuss our Texas first reading system.
Okay, so you guys are aware this is something we do each year. Every district in the state of Texas is rated and evaluated on approximately 20 different financial principles. And then from that, depending on how well you do, you receive a rating anywhere from substandard to meet standard to above standard to superior. And for as many years as I can recall, we've received a superior rating, a perfect score, which just means our ladies in the office are doing an outstanding job. They're making sure that we're making payments to TRS as we should, that we're not in arrears in anything, that we have sound financial practices. Partly, you know, that we have a clean audit. That's part of the evaluation, the first rating as well. But it's something we're very proud of. I printed off the actual ratings itself. If you guys would like to see it, it'll show you each of the subsets that they evaluate the district on. And it shows, of course, that we received the superior rating and a perfect score. So.
Get one. It goes through 1 through 4. Yeah, 4 pages.
And why we got to have a public meeting for this?
It's just required by law. So
what are we supposed to do?
Nothing. You just have to hear it. Yeah, you just have to hear it. We just have to have a
public meeting. Read through every line.
Well, mostly they just want you to read. They want to make sure the public's aware of the raising. And so once we've done that, and it is something to be grateful and thankful for, the work that our ladies do in the office, which I thank you all and appreciate the professionalism and, you know, doing a good job. And I know that's appreciated by the board as well. So.
Any other comments, questions, concerns? To our consent agenda items. Did everybody get a chance to look at those?
Move to pass consent agenda.
It's been moved by Jason. Second by Benita. All those in favor of accepting the consent agenda items? All those opposed? Motion carries.
We're a lively bunch.
Boy, yeah, we need Tammy. We'll move on to the report. Do you want to skip and have Trey go so he can get?
You know, we may do that. So, I mean, if you don't mind letting him, then we can finish the report. So, Trey, we'll let you go ahead and start. And we appreciate you making the effort to be here. And we know you'll do a great job of presenting. So.
Well, I just want to echo Denver's sentiment. I think April and Rose do a great job. And we always look forward to coming out here. The rest are always in good shape. The audit always goes well. So thank you all for y'all's hard work. It makes our job easier. And we appreciate working with you guys.
I always say that at every meeting.
Well, this is my first one. So, actually, yes. And I did meet. Yeah, they did.
That was a good comeback.
But I'm Ty Harpenall. I'm an audit manager. I've been out here with Trey for 3 years. And You'll notice in your packet there's two handouts. If you don't mind putting both those to the side just for a second, I'd like to just start with the opinion letter. So if you go to page one. This is a real technical, you know, they put this in, but the important thing is that we issue an unmodified opinion on the financial statements. That means that we think they're presented fairly in all material respects for each major fund and aggregate remaining funds for the district. It proceeds to say what management's responsible for, and that's the preparation and fair presentation of the financial statements and for the design, implementation, and maintenance of internal controls. After that, on the next page, it says what our responsibilities are for as auditors of financial statements, and that is to obtain reasonable but not absolute assurance that the financials are free from material misstatement, whether due to error or fraud. During the audit, we exercise professional judgment and maintain professional skepticism. Basically, that means that we trust what they're saying, but we verify what they're saying too. So we trust but verify is kind of the hot words and auditing there. Also, we perform a risk assessment, so we'll look through the accounts and decide based on our risk assessment what the high risk areas are. The audit will focus on that, and part of that is understanding the controls for all the audit areas, assessing those controls, and making our assessment based off that. It proceeds to say what the required supplementary information is, and that's required by GASB. That's the management discussion and analysis, budget comparisons, and pension and OPED information. And then there's supplementary information, and that's not required, but we put them in there. It's a combining schedule, so when you get to the C1 and C3, you have your major fund, then you have your non-major funds. The H1 and H2 kind of show which funds contribute in what way to those non-major funds. And then lastly is the other information, that's just required by TEA, and that's your schedule, delinquent taxes, child nutrition, budgetary comparison, and then your state comp ed and bilingual summaries. So the main takeaway on the first three pages that we issue the unmodified and complete opinion on the financial statements. We think they're free from material error. The first thing we'll look at is the MD&A, and that's on the next page. And that provides management the opportunity to share their highlights for the fiscal year and kind of go over the financials for fiscal year 25. And then at the end, it gives them a chance to look into fiscal year 26. So right there, right in the middle of the financial highlights, you'll see the net position of the district decreased by $448,238. I will note that most of the MD&A stuff is government-wide financial statements. So in that net position number are your adjustments for GASB 68 and 75. Your fixed assets are in there. A bunch of stuff that you probably don't look at each month on the fund level because we're not making those adjustments each month, but it's kind of hard to look at 68 and 75 because they're kind of pie in the sky numbers from Texas or Austin, I'm sorry, but we got to put them in there. So during the year ended August 31, 2025, the total net position was $3,723,000, and that included unrestricted net position of $670,000. Your cash and investments was $3.6 million. Total government-wide expenses were $5,033,000. This compares to $5,500,000 last year. And the revenues on the statements of activities decreased from $5,668,000 to $4,585,000. If you go now to page six, nowhere is comparative financial statements made other than the MD&A. So this is your chance to look at last year's balances versus this year's balances. As you'll see there, the main takeaway there is the change in cash follows the change in net position. So you'd expect that to happen as your fund balance goes down, you're spending cash to do that. And then the remaining change is part of your accounts receivable decrease due to grant receivables last year. On page seven, this is your comparative income statement. There's a large decrease there in operating grants and contributions. Your ESSER money was fully expended in fiscal year 24, so that's a big reason for that change. You also notice your state aid went down. in one of those handouts, you can see the ADA at the end of the year, and I think you're down 30 students on your average daily attendance. So when you're looking at your local revenues for property taxes, those are pretty much flat. So it's a fair conclusion to say that the ADA is really driving the decrease in your state aid there. On your expenses, this is kind of hard to look at because GASB 68 and 75 adjustments are riddled into here. But for the most part, payroll's down a little bit due to turnover. So that's driving your expenses down. And then you have a little less maintenance during the year. $200,000 of $500,000 decrease was 68 and 75. So on one of the other handouts, we actually dropped those expenditures out. That way you can kind of see the expenditures each month that y'all keep track of. And then over there, you'll see the last thing I want to talk about on this is the factors bearing on the district's future. You can see your M&O adopted rate of 0.7705 for fiscal year 26. That's down from 0.8209 fiscal year 25. But your assessed values are up about 9%. So hopefully that local revenue stays pretty flat, one of those two things offset each other there. On that 2025 audit report highlights, one of the handouts, this does not include 68 and 75, but kind of what we were talking about earlier, cash is following your fund balance. The foundation deferred revenue, if you look at the state revenue on the MD&A, how that went down, that's because we had deferred payments. The state overpaid you, so we'll recognize that in fiscal year 26. You don't owe that back to the state. They just reduce your payments in fiscal year 26 for that, and it will be recognized as income in the subsequent year. Functions 11 through 36 were relatively flat. However, when you look at functions 41, 53, and 81, and I'm sorry, I'm still on this handout. I'm sorry, I lose you. I'm about halfway there, expenditures and general fund. 11 through 36 are relatively flat. But when you're looking at 41 and 53, I think it's fair to throw 81 into there too, because I think this year, function 81 had the roofing, and last year it was in 53. So those are kind of on different lines there. But when you net them together, it's about $300,000. And that's, you paid about $225,000 more this year or last year for roofing. So that roofing project is a big portion of that decrease this year. Down there, you have the net decrease in fund balance of $411,000. And then that line $3,723,000, that's your net position on the A1, so your government-wide financial statements. But when we add in the effects of pension and OPEB, your net position excluding 68 and 75 is $6,462,000. So that would be what you're looking at on your fund level, plus the building and any other capital assets that are not on your fund level that are required to be on your government-wide financial statements. From the sounds of it, I think the back of this page is everybody's favorite thing to look at. It's your comparison against other districts. And Trey did warn me, if I start too early with this, you might just look at this the rest of your presentation. So feel free to do that. I'll keep going. But that's all public information. That's off TEA's website, so that's not proprietary in any way. So I'm going to keep moving on to page 9, and that's your Exhibit A. That's your first financial statement outside of the MD&A. That's your statement of net position, and that's your government-wide. This is a lot of the same stuff that we've kind of already talked about. I will note that your total assets are primarily comprised of cash and CD investments, and then you have your fixed assets. And that of the $7 million, that's a substantial portion of your total assets. Next is the deferred outflows resources. This is the reason for this line is TRS has a measurement date on their pension liabilities of August 31, 2024 is their measurement date, even on August 31, 2025 financial statements. So those are differences in that. But really the deferred outflows are expenses that are going to be recognized in the future. If you skip down a few lines, you have your deferred inflows. That's the same thing, but the other way. That would be going through the income statement in subsequent years. So really, when you net those, you got about a $500,000 deferred inflow on 6875 that's going to make its way to the income statement. Liabilities, we've already kind of talked about the unearned revenue, overpayment from the state, and then you have your net pension liability, and that's technically the TRS plan's underfunded, so they owe more TRS in Austin than they have assets for, so they assign that deficit to the districts since it's a pooled employer pool. They look at the contribution made by all the districts and assign you a liability. That doesn't mean you owe Austin a check for $1.2 million. They recoup that through payment, your payroll payments through TRS deductions. Down there at the bottom, your total net position of $3,723,472. Flipping over to the B1, this is your statement of activities. Just the income statement, including depreciation, de-expending capital assets that are recognized as expenditures on the fund level. The main takeaway on the B1 for me is that this is so ugly. I don't know how they came up with this design to put expenses over here, then two columns of revenue, and then put more revenue down here below it. But I think it's awfully confusing to look at. But column one is your expenditures for the total government-wide financial statements, and then you have program revenues of $49,765. Then you have operating grant and contribution revenues of $517,000, and that gives you a net decrease in net position of $4.4 million. But then you have your property taxes and your state revenue below that, which are your biggest sources of revenue. So when you add in all those other lines, you really have a net change in net position of $448,000 decrease. But again, that includes depreciation and the impacts of 68 and 75. But that's...
And that's the attendance.
ADA is the attendance, yeah. When you're looking at the state foundation and the change of that, it's typically either if you had a big increase in your property taxes, the state's going to help you a little less. Or if your ADA goes down, they're going to base their payments based on what they have. But when you submit your finals and they reconcile that data, they're going to look at what they actually paid you and what they think they should have paid you based on your ADA. And that's where we get that overpayment this year. All right, so C1, now we're done with the stuff that y'all don't look at each month. This is the fund level, so this is how you would see the information monthly. Again, we kind of talked about this a lot already because not a lot. You don't have a ton of reconciling items to your government-wide. You have a few fixed assets. You recognize 68 and 75, but no debt, so you don't have any changes in your liabilities or anything like that. So on the fund level, you had total assets of $4,060,000, and the general fund had $3.9 million of that. One thing I would like to note is that the accrued wages payable is up, and that's strictly related to House Bill 2. The increase in teacher salaries for the upcoming year. I think you guys are at the threshold where it's even higher payments for your teachers. And I think if your ADA is higher than maybe 1,000 or something, that gets tiered down a little bit. But below that, is it 5 and 8?
That's correct.
I think it's 3 and 5 if you're above the. So that's just something that changed. One difference on this from the A1 is that unavailable revenue from property taxes on the government-wide, that's recognized as revenue, but on the fund level, we can't recognize that as revenue. Just fun GASB stuff there. Total fund balances on the fund level is $3.4 million. On the next page, you'll get kind of a reconciliation from the government-wide to the C1 and what adjustments we have to make to get your fund level and your government-wide. Putting on your fixed assets, that was a $2.9 million increase in net position. And then you have the 68 and 75, your pension and OPEB, that decreased it about 2.7. And then the property taxes, like I said, that is recognized as revenue on the B1, but not the A1. So we have that live, we have the deferred inflow on your fund level. C3 is your financial statements on the fund level. You'll see you have total revenues of $4.7 million, almost $4.8 there. Nothing crazy on that. You did have a decrease in federal revenues. That's ESSER primarily, and then decrease in state. We've talked about that. Expenses, nothing super drastic happened there other than, like I said, kind of a decrease in payroll expenditures for the year, and a little less maintenance work. And I will note that on this, you do have, like, all those items that are capital expenditures are expenditures on your fund level. So these expenditures are going to look a little bit different than they would on your B1. But at the same time, you don't have the depreciation running through your C3 because that's only on your B1. So the next page kind of spells all that out, where we're telling you that, the capital assets are de-expended and capitalized on your A1, but then we also have to take depreciation on that. And depreciation exceeded the fixed asset additions by $171,000. So that's another decrease in your net position. And then you have your 6875 impacts of $127,000, and then your change in unavailable property taxes of $20,230. Next up is the E1. That's the next page, and that's your statement of fiduciary net position. That's basically the student activity funds, where the students control those dollars, but you guys own the bank accounts, but they can spend it how they want. You're just a fiduciary to that. That doesn't get included on your A1 or your C1, but here it is as a separate statement. Total cash in that is $64,000, and they have unrestricted net position of $49,870. Next page is E2, same thing, just the income statement for this. They changed net position of $7,147. They had revenues over expenditures by that amount. So the ending net position was $49,870. Next up are all the notes, and there's an awfully lot of them, so I'm just going to pick out a couple of important ones. If you'll flip to page 20, that'll be the first one. You'll notice about halfway down this sheet, we talk about GASB Statement 101, Compensated Absences. That was a new standard effective this year. We assessed it for Spring Lake Earth, and it does not have a material impact on the financial statements, so nothing has been recorded as an estimate. Basically, that GASB wanted you to look at, if you're paying out employees when they leave, we want you to recognize a portion of that liability now. And also, they have this great idea where you're supposed to estimate if they have days off, how many days can they take before their retirement date. So it's been a really hard liability to estimate, and basically since you're not paying people out when leaving, not material to the financial statements was the conclusion there. Page 24 is the next note. This is just kind of a breakout of where all the cash is. And you get cash on hand of $1,000, cash in the bank of $1,010,000, and then your CDs make up the rest of it. And the statement of net position, that's all your fund level stuff, has $3.8 million, and then your student groups have $64,000 of that. Flip over to page 26. Here's a schedule of your fixed assets. You have what your capital assets are at the beginning of the year, any addition to fixed assets, any deletions or retirements from fixed assets this year. I know the roof was a big part of the 125. I think there was about 107 related to the roof this year. And then right below that's your accumulated depreciation. That's all the depreciation taken this year, $296,707. And then right below that is where on the B1 we're recognizing depreciation expense, and that's how much we took to each one of those functions. So that's how that gets allocated into your B1. All right, and most of the rest of these notes relate to 6875, and there's just not a lot of material there. It's just a bunch of required disclosures. So I'm going to skip to page 43. This is your budget comparison. You'll see you pretty much nailed the revenues on your final amended budget. Those were different from actual by $3,400. So missed the $5,700 of your local revenues, but you missed the $5,800 by just about the same amount. So when you look at those two, And that's that far right column there. If you, when you look at those two, those kind of wipe each other out, and then you just have a small difference in your federal revenues. It's always nice to see when you have no negative variances in your budget on your expenditures. That way, I mean, to me, that means you're being fiscally responsible, and you know what you can spend, and you try to stay under it. And you'll notice on that amended column, column two down there, control code 1100, your final budget had a estimated deficiency of revenues under expenditures of $1,074,000, and actual there was $411,000, so quite a bit better than what they thought it was going to be throughout the year. Flipping through now to page 49. These are those combining schedules that are not required, but we do put them in there. If you go back and look at your C1, you'll see on the non-majors, you'll have cash and temporary investments of $116,000. That just means the food service, we're showing that food service had all that cash. And due from other governments, $21,381. 15 of that was in the Child Nutrition Fund, and then $5,000 was in Title I, and then you had a little bit over there in Title IV. So that's what this is showing you if you wanted to see those breakout of all your non-majors. H2, right behind that, is the exact same thing, but this is your combining schedule for the C3, or your fund level statement of revenues, expenditures, and changes in fund balances. Again, no ESSER, so this is going to be down. But they're doing their best to give you as many safety grants as they can, so you're getting money that way. They've been pumping a lot of 429 grants out, so just more work for you all to keep track of, but doing a good job of it. Your federal revenue, almost all that's title grants and child nutrition. And then your state revenue, quite a bit of that is those safety grants. Then you have some textbook stuff, or that can be in the form of requisitions or payments, reimbursements for textbooks, what have you. All right, so then if we jump to the next page, page 51. Here's a schedule of your delinquent taxes. So this is what you are owed on all your tax years. And then if you look at column 15, go all the way down, that $228,457, that's the number you'll see as a receivable on your C1. So this just shows you what years make up that whole receivable balance. And then 52, the next page. It's the same budget type of thing, but this is required for the Child Nutrition Fund. Again, better than expected. You have, you're expecting a $24,000 loss on the fund alone with a $24,000 transfer in, but the fund actually was positive $27,534, so no transfer was required, and that's actually a $52,000 favorable variance there on your Child Nutrition Fund. Lastly, page 54, this is just a technical letter on internal controls. It lists out what the standards say a significant deficiency is, material weaknesses. The most important part of this letter is the final paragraph that states that we do not identify any material, any deficiencies that we consider to be material weaknesses or significant deficiencies. So that does that for this report. But the other handout is a SAS letter. That's just a communication with those charged with governance or you all. This is where we would let you guys know any difficulties we encounter while performing the audit, which there were none. It's where we'd let you know about the corrected and uncorrected misstatements. We did have a few journal entries, but those were all made and corrected. And then we have noted any disagreements with management, which there was none of that. So with that being said, again, I just want to say I think April and Rosa do a great job, and we always appreciate coming out here and working with them. And we can always count on this being a good, smooth audit, and credit to them for all their hard work. So,
thank you, Lance.
Any questions?
I think that was the first time I saw, or maybe I was looking at the wrong paper the whole time, but there are delinquent taxes. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're just a receivable. They're counted as an asset?
Yes. Yeah. And then that when I was talking to you about the C1 having that unavailable revenue, mm-hmm. what we do on that J1, I believe it is we, I think, I can't tell you what year exactly, but we say any year after this we're allowing for, and we're not going to say that's revenue. Okay. So I think it's maybe 2015 and older, we're saying is an allowance. If you go to the C1, you're going to have a 228 and then a 66,000 or 61. I can't remember off the top of my head. I'm sorry. But really, that's those prior tax years. Is that 160 is that deferred inflows that we're saying on the fund or on the government wide is revenue, but on the fund level we can't recognize that due to GASB standards. So
anybody, any questions?
I'll wait till the end.
Y'all wanted to do it again?
Yeah, y'all want to hear it again? I might be better the second time.
So what I'm learning as I look at this through the years is the big expenses in construction, maintenance. I'm seeing that consistently.
Well, a lot of the payrolls are charged to Function 11. So,
yes, it's the same
thing. At any school, that's going to be the biggest pull for your expenditure and payroll. So, and of course, all the benefits follow the Function 11. So, yeah, that's the big part there.
Anything else? Wait. This is just a report. We don't have to take no action, right?
No, we will take action on this to accept.
Okay.
Oh, accept.
Please, motion to approve. Trent seconded it. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carries.
Thank you. Thank you, Tyler.
Appreciate y'all.
Yeah, you do great.
Thanks for going easy on it.
Yeah.
You got it.
Okay. Where's
this? Oh, sorry. It's towards the front. It's right.
I see it.
You see it.
I'm using a special pen. I don't think that's what I use a special pen.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I need that. Here, use my pen.
Okay.
Yes. Because that is the
special pen.
Well, it was running out of ink, and so I was afraid.
You can use a Sharpie if you want to.
He just flipped right to
it. He's more talented than I. Jeff Gordon.
It doesn't matter this
now
book.
She can use a special
pen.
Thank you. All righty.
Thanks
so much. Thank
y'all. All right. Safe travels. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we start the reports. Are y'all good? Okay. We're going to do the reports and we'll start. And Shayla, not to put you on the spot, but the first one I had up there was the UL Academic Meet. I thought you might talk a little bit about that if you don't mind.
We went to Silverton and we had some interesting we don't have a period dedicated to UIL, but our kids worked hard. We had power hour twice a week at least, sometimes three. It depends on if they could get away from another class to work on it. So they did work hard. We had a lot of individuals that placed first and first, second, third up there, some teams that did well in the elementary and the junior high. We still placed fourth in the elementary and the junior high. So we're working on it. I like to compete, and it's something for those kids to go do besides sports to compete against, to do something else. But they did good, and they enjoyed it. I think they enjoyed it this year, because they like to go to the different teachers at the end of the day for those hours and work. So next year, I think we're going to tweak a little bit and have a little bit more. This day we're going to do this. This day we're going to do this. So because we have a lot of kids that do so many events, so if we could just concentrate on a couple and get them really good at those at a couple, I think we can compete even better next year. So do you want me to go ahead and do some the other?
Do the site base too if you
want. Okay, site base. We talked about the federal programs, and of course we talked about our UIL. The school safety and security updates. We did have a question from a parent that came on the committee. She asked about if we were looking for an officer and had some questions about that. We had the sip and dip. We talked about that. We explained to them that the state threw at us, November 4th? We got it November 4th, and then we had our school board meeting for y'all to approve the campus improvement plan and the district improvement plan. Everything was done, and then a couple days before, we got this, email and this whole thing, and so the state required us to do a whole lot more with it. So we are still continuing to work and get everything in compliance, and it's just like it's a living document. We're just doing what we need to do as we go. It is based, a lot of it is based around parent involvement, stakeholder involvement, so which is, great because it's transparency. They know what's going on up here. We want them to know what's going on up here, and we want them involved. We want the parents up here and doing things with our kids too. And the federal funds, it's based on that. We've got to show that what we're doing and to where we get the federal funds, and because that's how we Title I, especially that's how we help our kids with the reading, and so that's a huge asset to have because we need it. And it's also it's just something that we've got to, we need a needs assessment to know what we need to do in order to make our school better. So that's the whole purpose of the sip and the dip. Okay. All right. I think I talked about everything. We've been working on our at-risk, and the new things is the chronically absent and the kids that have missed 10% or 10 days of unexcused is chronically, and we have to go back last year, and then we look at this year. So we've been doing that, and because we've got some that are just chronically absent, and it's going to count against us because whenever you miss a whole 6 weeks throughout the whole year, because the days add up, that's a lot of education that they're missing. So we need to. So that is part of the new. It's a new state thing also with PEAMS. So okay. Anything? Questions?
What's your enrollment?
It was 129, and I think it's about 127 in elementary and junior high.
Okay, thank you.
So, we had two kids. They flop back and forth between Sudan and here. So, we'll see them again.
That's weird.
So, we will.
Yeah, no,
we will. Unfortunately, you're out of. I get it.
So, but yeah. It's pretty steady. It really is. Any other questions? Band Christmas concerts coming up Thursday, the 6th through 12th grade will be at 7 o'clock, and pre-K through 5th will be Friday at 3 o'clock. We have EOC testing, lots of EOC testing. That's why we came to school today, is because of testing. Tomorrow we will have our EOC testing, retesting. We have the young man that you signed for, hopefully. He'll be taking his test tomorrow. So that's another thing. We're graduating him tomorrow after his meeting.
Todd, but that was a really big accomplishment.
It is a huge accomplishment.
For a number of folks involved. And we haven't had a lot of these students that would be, well, if we had like an alternative type of setting. But the staff did a lot to adjust for this young man. And it's a proud moment for him. And we're very proud of him. And we're grateful. I'm thankful for the staff making it happen. And I think it's a big yeah, accomplishment.
It's a huge accomplishment for him, his mom, family.
How old is he?
He is, actually, he's 18. He's almost 19. And
so not a completely out.
Well, his birthday's in February, so he should have already been held back. He also didn't really see a need to come to school. And anyway, lots of encouragement from
a big
the teachers.
He came to us late from San Antonio, and so we had a lot to help him catch up on academically and others. So I thought it was a good
team. I mean, from the first day that I saw him in my class till now, he's a completely different kid.
Yeah, he is a good kid.
So
good
anyway, job. So that's huge.
Yeah, that's huge. Kudos to your staff.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We will also be having more tests this week and next week. We have our TSI math test, which they have to have in order to go on to college. So that goes into that college and career readiness, military readiness standard. So we have the TSI math this week. And then next week we will have the TSI English. And I think that's about it. Y'all have questions for me?
What's your attendance or enrollment?
I know we had two that left after we had a number of 91, so 89?
8 through 12?
Yes.
Okay.
No, 9 through 12.
No.
Because we turned in our number for football.
Yeah, so that one's different. That
I know,
didn't
but I'm
eighth
saying
graders.
That doesn't include eighth graders.
I'm using eighth grade.
She
didn't have, you don't have eighth grade on your number.
22.
That,
so
my number was just through seven.
So,
yeah, that's what
So you're in 100.
Roughly
100.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I'll do mine. I'll touch on the AD one too. The UIL realignment is coming up in February. I think I've made mention of that. We adjusted our numbers because we had two students that were counted that when we went back that were unenrolled from Littlefield. As y'all may be aware, we have some special needs students that travel there. You do have to carry them on your enrollment, but they shouldn't have been on there. So I sent in an adjusted number to UIL for them. So I don't think it'll make one bit of difference because it's not on the not enough to make us go up or down or not even close to it, but I want to make you aware of that.
That number was what?
75? No, we turned in 73 and it should have been 71. So we are working on our football scoreboard for y'all that came. We got through most of the season until the very end. And it's just very expensive, and we have a talented electrician, HVAC guy that I don't know how he works on scoreboard. He has been able to, and he got it fixed, and he thinks we can replace a part in there, and we can still get some more use out of it. I'm making mention of it now. We may have to punt and do something on it, which, I mean, I'm not advocating for a new scoreboard. I'm just saying because the age and the amount of work, that may just be a – that may be something that happens. He came and worked on our basketball scoreboard. For those of y'all that have been to our home games, y'all probably have noticed the home fouls are not showing up, which is not a good thing because it looks like, you know, the officials calling all these fouls against the visiting team and none against us, which is not true, but it's a circuit board that's out. He thinks he can fix that. Again, he's very talented. This isn't really what they do, but we're going to try to get that fixed. They're a lot less expensive than what they were at one time, but our baseball scoreboard has also caused issues. So we're working on all of them. The goal is not that to replace any of them, but just, again, just a heads up for right now. So We hope to begin in the next 2 weeks, because typically December is one of your best months for you to replace automobiles. We have some of those hail damaged vehicles. We have insurance money for that. I think we talked about that and the cap for it. We'll try to get some of those in. So if you happen to see some vehicles show up, that's what that's going to be, you know, for. It's going to be to replace those hail damaged vehicles. And on the AD side of it, I thank the staff and everybody involved for the tournament that we've not done that. And I thought it was a good reflection on the school. I thought that went well, and I enjoyed it.
Lots of great comments.
Yeah, a lot of great comments, yeah. And it took a lot of hard work. I mean, golly, just doing I wanted to call it the refreshment stand, the hospitality room. The thing was huge work, and kudos to Jason and his wife and all of you guys that put time and effort to making that thing special. And a lot of y'all did. I mean, all of y'all were up here. Even, I'll say something which Tammy probably wouldn't want me to say, but I appreciate. She started doing the announcing. You know, we lost Brother Rob. We lost our announcer, and I think that what I've heard, I think it's been good. So I hope you enjoy it. We'll keep doing it. Yeah. Well, I tried to get you to do it again, but you know, I maybe shy.
Turned it again.
Yeah, that was good. But we appreciate that. We need the help, and that I think that's good. And the girls are really doing well. The boys are struggling this year, so they've had a couple injuries. But I know they'll get on track when district gets here, and that'll be good. We're off to a good start. Friday will be the opening of district play for the girls, and then the boys follow a few games after that. So
were they able to raise a decent amount of money from the tournament?
I'm
about to pay officials.
The officials are through the roof expensive. Oh my goodness. So I don't know once we do all that that we really will make money. I just hope we didn't lose money on it. So, but the officials they're expensive. So.
Okay. Any other questions? I guess we'll move on to the next new business item.
Excuse me. And this goes back to the numbers on the.
That's from 2 years ago.
Right.
Yeah.
And then they only used 210 this year. Was that because we were too much?
Because it's ADA, so that's average daily attendance. So usually we're somewhere around 94%. So that's why that number is that. So they use the average attendance, not just your enrollment. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Anything else? The discussion on school district
takeoff attendance? Yes. So tonight, many of y'all may know Joseph Juarez. Joseph is one of our former students. And I want to talk about this, but I wanted him to be here for y'all to ask questions. As we're very aware, we went through a process. We brought in an officer, and you know, we invested time, money, and then the officer chose to take another opportunity. And so I as I've talked to Joseph, I really had to vet out his commitment to being here and staying here. And then I told him part of it would be coming here and talking with y'all. Now, as y'all are aware, this is an at-will employment, so it doesn't require, it's not a contract like when y'all hire the teachers. However, because of the nature of the position, I want y'all's feedback on it because, you know, I want us to be sure as we go forward. And I wouldn't have asked Joseph to come tonight for us to discuss if I didn't feel good about our conversations. He knows how important it is to be committed, to stay to it. I have drafted a contract for him that mostly provides protection for the school. Well, actually, Joseph, it doesn't really provide any protection for you. It's just saying, if you come, it says, well, what it basically says is, we will pay for the police academy and some other costs, but in return, we're going to expect you to stay for 3 years, and you have to, you know, stay in compliance, keep all your training up. We're just asking you to keep to a commitment. So the district pays for that, what that cost is in return. As we train you and you go through that, you repay the district by, you know, being a good officer and staying committed and staying here. But I believe that's right. And how do I want to say this without any negative towards Joseph, because it's not. I can't promise you anything, you know, when people come. You know, I've had people come out before and say things and shake my hand and tell me they do things, and it's, I don't like it. Now, he and I have done that. I believe him. You know, he's got some roots here, and he's been here, and I think his heart is to serve. But I, you know, the contract will give us some protection. I think even coming here is an extra measure, because his being here tonight would be committing. He's going to do this and stay to it. But I want y'all to have a chance to ask him any questions and make sure that our board was comfortable before we looked at even moving forward with this. So.
So how long have you been wanting to be a police officer? And why have you not already done that?
So I got into some trouble when I was 18, and I got charged with a misdemeanor for evading arrest. Okay, so then I talked, you know, I started looking into it myself, and I was like, I still want to do it, and I still can. You know, Tico tells me all the time, you still can do it. Like, you just need somebody, an agency has to sponsor me until 2028. Once 2028 comes around, it's been, for them, it's been exactly 10 years on the books that happened. Then they said, you don't need no sponsor. They're like, then you can come to the academy and get your license through Tico. They're like, but right now, if you do anything before 2028, we need somebody to sponsor you. That's where the school comes into play. Or even if it was for a different city, that city would have to sponsor me to go to the academy. So that's why I really haven't done anything yet. If not, I would have done it already.
And we had to go through a background check with which, because this is a public meeting, I'll say some, and then I'll say as much as I can say to it. You have to clear a background check. What he said was absolutely correct, and he did clear it, and he is eligible to go to the academy with our sponsorship. So all of that is correct.
Is that something that can be deferred?
The what?
The misdemeanor.
So no.
It stays.
Okay. But you can still be a police officer.
Law enforcement wise, it doesn't matter as long as you have a sponsor or reference.
Yeah, as long as well, till 2028. Yeah, once 2028 comes out, then you don't need a sponsor. But they also check. Tico also checks to make sure you didn't get into any trouble after that.
Yeah.
And so far, I haven't gotten into any trouble. So like, you know, as long as you get a sponsor, we'll do it. And if you wait till 2028, then we'll help you then.
How do you see yourself? You're a native from here, so you know a lot of people, probably related to a lot of people. How do you see yourself acting in the role of your job in where you're very, very familiar with most
people? I mean, for me,
yeah,
the job comes first. Doesn't matter who it is. It could be the closest person to you or the farthest person. You're going to treat everybody the same no matter who they are. That's for me.
And you really feel like you can do that?
Oh, yeah. If I can do it with EMS, I'm not that I do much, right? But I've been with EMS for almost 6 years now. And I've had, you know, my family there. And I mean, it's not the same as being a police officer, don't get me wrong. But your feelings, go, you put them to the side, right? And you do what you have to do. And I've done that. Mm-hmm. So if I can do it there, I can do it here.
I had that same question.
It's the nature of that kind of work. I've never done it before, so I've got family in it. And so that's what's on my mind is that, you know, and your thought process. Another question on acting quick under pressure. How do you feel about yourself doing that?
I think I can do it, honestly.
What are you doing currently?
So I was with TDC, and I wanted to concentrate more on this. So I started talking to Mr. Crum about it at the games. When I heard that, you know, I'm not going to say I had a shot, right? But maybe I could do something. I needed something with less hours. Because Arrow's working 12 hours, you know, And it, by the time I got home, there was nothing for me to do. So I was just like, I need a different job. And I moved to Aaron's, the furniture store. I explained to both companies what I was doing. And they also knew about this, doing this as well, which they're okay with. And so that's what I'm doing now. I'm at Aaron's right now until I hear something from y'all.
How long were you with TDC?
Going on 6 months.
Where was that at?
In Plainview, at Fort Meade.
What was your position there?
CO. Just managing the inmates.
So you already had some experience with the inmates and that mentality.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully
it's a different.
It'll be a little more peaceful.
I just say that, like, I didn't just do form. Like, yeah, that was my main job. Like, that's where I worked, right? But I also worked, you know, the maximum security, like, in Amarillo, which is even worse. There they have actual killers and stuff that you got, you know, you have to work with them, and they're in your face. So I think if I can handle that, I can handle it out here, too.
I will say the only thing, I worked with detention for 10, and I was in a star, which is with also this lock up for another 4. Kids are different. They manipulate. They also, they got parents who will defend every little thing they do. So the worst part would be working with parents at times. How do you think you are with the public, with the parents when it comes to that?
Honestly, I think I could do it. I don't think it's going to be too big of a, what do you say, I guess you could say a task or something, you know, to figure out.
I mean, I'm sure you've seen, just being around, how parents are the worst. Even detention, we had visitation, and we've had to escort a lot of parents out. So I was just saying, to me, the kids was the big deal, was the parents.
Well, I mean, it's the same thing.
I mean, this would probably have to deal with here, too, at times.
Yeah, well, there you have the parents going for them, too, you know. So it's the same. It all goes back to the parents, anyway. Doesn't matter how old you are. Parents will show up and try to defend anything they do, or say something, just like you said.
Mm-hmm. I got one more. Can I get specific? Like, not like his personal, but just on scenario?
Sure.
Okay. Mainly topic. How would you feel about probably, I guess, third grade all the way up, dealing with helping these administrators in Denver deal with students with mental health problems and behavior? You feel like, I don't want to say capacity, because you'll learn that in training and stuff.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that? And again, you might know them.
I guess find the best way to deal with it, honestly. I mean, I don't know what, right now I don't know how to answer that question. I'm trying to think about it, but.
Like on your EMS calls, somebody don't tell me tonight.
Yeah.
But some of your worst calls, seeing you going home, going, you know, just when you do, I'm not asking that, I'm just asking you think about that, those scenarios that you might encounter here that are hard. So just think about, as you go through this training, like Jason said, dealing with public, parents, and then somebody's hurt or somebody's really, really mad. So,
like, how was your de-escalation skills with the TDC?
I'd say pretty good.
I mean, I know they probably
In the academy, they teach you how to deal with that stuff. Not exactly, you know, how it happens here, because it's always different in the field, right? But they teach you, and then you use that and your own to de-escalate everything down. And at TDC, don't get me wrong, I've had a lot of, you know, crazy things happen. They get in my face, and you think about it, all I have is pepper spray, you know, and a radio. But you can't reach for that pepper spray and radio, you know, what are you going to do? You got to finish that, right? So in that way, instead of getting rowdy with them or trying to hurt them, talk to them. And personally, what I would do in the prison was like, hey, I'm a person too, you're a person, let's talk about what's going on. Let's try to get to the bottom of the situation, right? And that always like, oh, well, he cares, so let me talk to him. And then that would stop.
You de-escalate.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yes, sir.
don't feel like you would have any problem having it be the opposite, where kids, teenagers look on you more as the good guy, the, you know, hey, this is Joseph, we all know Joseph, hey, you know. I mean, it's the total opposite of what we've been talking about. But I also see that kind of as how do you anticipate having that boundary, you know, because you are known in the community, the kids know you, you've got kids here. And so, I mean, I know that when I'm up here and I'm around kids that are familiar with my kid, it's a lot friendlier treatment than just anybody. So how do you think you will go about setting that boundary that when I'm here, this is who I am, as opposed to when I'm away from here, this is who I am?
Honestly, I've talked about that to my wife too, because she asked me the same thing. She was, you know a lot of kids there. She was, so say the school does hire you, and you know, the kids are going to, you're going to get there and the kids are going to say, oh, they, you know, we're going to get away with this because, you know, it is who it is. I told her, you know, it's, when I come in to work here, that's what it's going to be for. You know, I mean, I don't know how to explain to that you're going to set a boundary there, right? But I mean, you're going to do it regardless of what happens. So when I get here, I'm going to make sure it's known that I'm here. That if I am the resource officer here, I'm going to make sure that that's why I'm here, to do what I'm here to do, right? Once I'm out there, it's a different story. I'll talk to them, like, you know, you'll see them around out there, and they'll be like, oh, why did you do this? I go, that's work. This is out here. It's different. I mean, I don't know, even my kids, I've told this to my daughter, like, because she's like, oh, well, what about us? No, there's no, oh, well. I said, just because if I do get the job there, I am a police officer there, and you know, oh, that's my dad, he's going to do that. No, I'm not.
Yeah, it's harder when it gets here.
No, not for me.
People don't think that.
Not for me.
People don't think that, but it is.
I know it's hard to believe when I say not me, but once I'm here and you see it, you're like, oh, he doesn't lie.
There's a switch that you turn on.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
There's a respect switch, and then you sometimes have to hey, not here. I'm at work. And then there's a, afterwards, even then, everybody thinks I'm mean anyway, regardless. But to me, my kids know there's a switch. And their friends know because there's a switch.
Yes, you can.
I can see my kids' friends much, but my kids know that. Like, they actually know that at home, I'm fun or whatever. But out here, I mean, I don't get me wrong, they're still my kids, whatever, right? But they know that when I guess there's a certain face. My son Donovan says there's a certain face I put on, and he knows that, okay, not him. So that's what I'll do. You know, when I get here, that's the face I'll put on, and if I have to, you know, when I get home, then it's different story.
I said there's a way where you can be too friendly.
Yeah.
And you're too much of a friend, or too much of a, you almost seem like a pushover. Let's just say it like that. Where the respect starts, you start losing the. There's a respect that an officer should have,
yes,
and what they shouldn't have, that the kids give you. I mean, it's okay for them to not be scared of you. That's not what you're here for. But they have to respect, like, when you say to do something. Well, scaredness is not really, it's more of a respect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
not being scared of the law, it's being respectful of the law.
Yeah.
And like I said, it's a different hat you wear. It's a different hat that you wear. And, you know, to me, it's almost like it's hard to even be a jokeful person when you're on duty.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that could be misconstrued by some kids as thinking, oh, he's just friendly. And I'm excited. I mean, it's a fine line. You can learn it.
Oh, yeah.
That's one thing. You probably learned it in the prison. Because there's a point where those guys want to chit-chat and think that you're cool. But then you also know that there's a line that, that's not cool. You know what I mean?
The way they teach
you probably know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. The way they teach you, what you're saying, is the way they taught me in the prison, and that fine line that you said, you know when to stop and do your job, do what you're doing, right? So you get there are some inmates that will come up to you and start trying to, hey, where do you live? That's when you stop her. You know, you stop it immediately. Like, hey, I'm not here to be your friend. Go over there. But then you also have that conversation with them, like, you know, I'm not here to be that mean person to you either. You know, make your life worse. I'm just here to do a job, go home. That's it. That's how I did it. That's how I did it. I made it 6 months. But like I said, I would have made it longer. But that's how bad I wanted to be a police officer, is that I stopped doing that so I could put focus onto this.
Yeah, and it's got state benefits and everything else. I mean, job-wise, that was the job you probably would want to be. I mean, so you too, you risk a lot by...
Oh, yeah, to try to do this.
Yeah. Especially going to, from TDC to Aaron's.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not nothing against Aaron's, but it's a pay cut, and there's also the insurance and everything else. It's probably totally different. So I respect that.
Joseph, did you graduate? Did you get
not
your...
Not from here, but I did get my high school diploma.
Okay. I just want to say that. I remember one time Joseph came to the post office to mail us some papers, paperwork. And I always get emotional. I don't know why, but... very proud of him because he came and mailed some papers off and told me, you know, I'm gonna get my GED. And I was like, oh, really? He's like, yeah, I am. He's like, I want to be a police officer. And that was a while back. And I think we all deserve a chance in life. Sometimes we got to give people a chance. But people need to realize, too, that you're given a chance because we believe in people. We believe you can do it. We try. We have trust in you. So in order for us to, like, think about if you get the position or not, or Dr. Crump gives it to you, you have to realize, too, that people are putting their trust in you, our children's trust in you. It's a job that's very important for our district. It's a very important thing. But I believe in second chances. I believe that sometimes things are just meant to be. Like, I know you've been after this to be a police officer. So I just give kudos to Joseph because he's, you know, I know Joseph had a hard life and he's really struggled and he's doing what he needs to do. He's doing the best that he can. So kudos to him and very proud of him for doing that GED and still going after his dream to be a police officer. So I think that I believe that he'd be a good person to take this job. And again, like I said, we believe in you and we trust in you. And this is not just a little job, you know, it's a lot of responsibility. And like kids they're saying lives. That, you know, kids' lives, parents, I mean, so it's a very, very important job. So don't take it lightly because it's not like, you know, a light job. It's very important. It's a great opportunity for, you know, if you are to get this, you would be able to get in like the way you're wanting to. But again, like I said, kudos to you. And like I said, it's very important. You got to be very responsible and people believe in you and trust you and put out the trust in you. The children, families do. So just keep that in the back of your mind, too.
You know, I'm saying that, just realize that because, like she said, the upbringing, you will have people doubt. So prove them wrong. Always prove them wrong. Show that you're the respectful kid that I know. Well, I say not that I know, but I know you're no Donovan. Yeah. And that kid, you've done a great job.
I've tried hard.
So, you know, you should. To me, I show my respect for you is up here. But like I said, this is a totally different type of respect. So, if you're able to get this job and everybody, just realize you're gonna have doubters. Just don't let them get into your head, and just know that you can. You can, you know, figure it out.
It won't matter what you do. You're gonna have people that agree and like you, and people that do not like you. And you have to be able to let that not get to you. Mm-hmm. And that's so much easier said than done.
You know,
but that will be a factor.
I've had that happen with other TMS.
I can see that. But I'm just telling you, when it comes to school,
that's a lot.
You will have that happen. Yes, you're going to have people that will disagree with you and think you handle things poorly. They will go out in the community and
bad-mouth you.
They'll go on social media and do that. Do you think you can keep that in and not retaliate, because that's a really hard thing as well, because that's going to be part of your responsibility, is not to retaliate because you are an employee here, not just an employee, but a police officer here. And so will you be able to not express things you might want to otherwise express or do?
Yeah, I think I can.
Just don't comment.
It's
gonna be a learning experience.
Yeah, it's
so it's gonna be different than when working in the prison. You know, you expect it from them. There's people here that sorely disappoint you. You know what I mean? And that's what's gonna be the hardest part. You think you're back about certain people, and you're not. I mean, I'm not talking about people in this room, just in the public. You know, and you'll start. And like I said, it can get you. But the big deal is the maturity of the job. You know that there's a line that you have to hold.
We're the ones you come talk to.
Yeah.
You know, don't talk to them.
That would be the wise choice.
Yeah.
Especially this guy.
Yeah. Like I said, good luck to you. I mean, if there's any more questions, I'm just saying, from me, good luck.
Anything else?
How many more years he's got left up here?
My daughter has 2 more. And my son graduates in May. Sadly, I wanted him to play more football.
Yeah. Me too. Everything.
You planning on staying, I guess, after they graduate?
So that's what.
Are y'all planning on chasing the kids down the road somewhere?
We have more. So that's what I was trying to talk to Mr. Crum about. Is we have another. My wife has more kids, and they're actually about to move down here with us for good. They want to go to school here, okay. So we'll be here longer than 3 years. Because Skyler, I don't know if y'all know Skyler, he's barely 12. He still has a long way to go, and he wants to finish school here. And the reason is his dad looked at his grades. Yeah, he had the best grades here at this school, and over there, he's failing every single class. So his dad's like, well, do y'all want to take him? And my wife said, we'll take him. So he'll be here next year for sure, starting here. So I'll have 2 kids still going here for sure.
Anything else?
I don't.
Okay, this doesn't require board.
We appreciate you coming in and talking to us.
Thank you. Yeah, we already
made it. Thank you.
Have a good night.
Thanks. Thanks, Joseph. Special education.
Yes, the actual contract is here. It's rather thick, so I didn't send it out to y'all. We sign this every year. As y'all are aware, we're in what is called a shared service arrangement. It's how we get all of our special ed services. It's how we have to send students to Littlefield. But this requires the board to approve the agreement, but it's every year we enter into it. It's our school district, Sudan, Littlefield, Amherst, and Cotton Center, and that's who forms the shared service arrangement agreement. So.
Oh, and you have to sign this, not me.
Yes, I sign it, yeah, but it just needs board approval, so.
I'm approve the special education services.
Moved by Jason, seconded by Benita. All those in favor of approving the special education agreement?
Aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion carries.
Okay, and the last one, you should have in your packet a copy of the transfer students. We of course recommend that y'all approve it, but that's your decision. This is just a list of the transfer students.
Any questions?
Don't have any discipline problems with any of
those. Define discipline. No. Nothing major. No.
I mean, I know some of them.
Yes. Yeah. No issues like that.
No attendance.
Yeah, but I was gonna say attendance is good though.
Yes. Yeah.
Just on that one.
I'll move we approve.
been moved by Jason, second by Benita. All those in favor of approving a transfer student?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carries.
I'm going to go back to something on the police officer. What's his resume really look like? How many jobs has he had in the last 5 years?
Yeah, he's kind of, he's a little on, you know, he's a little all over the place on it. He's been steady at EMS, you know, which that's been good. I thought it was important for him to be here and for us to talk, you know, all of this. I think his heart is to do this. But again, I've been proven wrong, you know, before. But I do believe, and I wouldn't have brought him here to y'all if I didn't think it was good. But I also thought it was important for y'all to get to talk to him, you know, ask these questions, and for you to make your own, you know, your own decision. There's another component of this is, guys, there's almost no applicants for these positions. So that's part of it, you know, that's part of it too. And I wouldn't just, if I thought, okay, this is just ain't gonna work or he's gonna leave us high and dry, I wouldn't bring him in. But there is risk. I cannot guarantee that, you know, 6 months into this that he will, I can't guarantee that. I feel like he's got a good heart and a good attitude, you know, about it. I feel like he can do it. And I'm pulling.
Did you read the proposed contract with him?
I read.
That's really the only one I've ever read that is very one-sided.
Yeah.
But
I have to after what happened last time.
Yeah.
Yes, right, yeah.
Right. I get it. But send him to school, he ain't going to have $3,500 when he walks away.
Yeah.
You'll never get that. Know that.
Well, that's
what
true.
Are you, I didn't see a pay on that deal. What are you, how are you going to pay?
Well, we have not worked all of that out. I mean, some of it would be, you know, what is we, if we're to bring him in, say that again, I'm sorry.
Is there a state fund for the police officer?
There is. I mean, we have funds for that. I thought you were asking me, you know, what we would pay him, or you
yeah,
asked me
yeah,
how
I
we
mean,
would
pay him. I mean, are you going to pay him hourly, or are you going to give him a flat amount?
Well, I on this time around, we haven't worked all those out, but I talked to him more about almost a substitute scale rate. Now, I want to be fair and right to him, but I think they'd be much more fair as he's working through it. We'll come up with a... We're going to give him a competitive wage, you know, because that's right. But I'm going to do it hourly. So, you know, again, it gives us some protection, you know, there. And so.
Plus, you can get him here on after hours and school hours to overtime wise, I guess.
Yes, yeah.
To give him that way, it'll kind of supplement him to be here, make him want to be here.
Yeah, and I think that's
salary,
absolutely
if you give
him
a salary, right. Nobody wants to be here any extra.
Right.
I know y'all don't. Why would y'all? I mean, I'm being honest. I mean, that's kind of the job, but at the same time, for a police officer,
I mean, he'll work some home games. The school system have overtime rates like that.
But well, we have to watch it. We fall under the Fair Labor Standards Act, and so there are things that we have to, you know, we have to be careful with our hourly, you know, mm-hmm. people with. So if we do that, we have to make sure that he stays within, you know.
Yeah, he stays within a certain amount.
Yes, that's correct.
Like I said, then that's going to be our deal, y'all's job to really, do we need him here today or not?
But if we only go to school 4 days a week, when the times he's here in the evenings, I mean, it really kind of makes up that fifth day.
It absolutely would balance it out. Mm-hmm. And what we could, we almost get a little bit of try before you buy, because let's say we're okay, y'all say, all right, we're good, go for it. We bring him in next month. He doesn't go to the academy until this summer. So we kind of get a feel for, okay, what's his commitment? What's he like? You know, that type of a deal. You know, are you really doing what you say you would do? Are you staying committed?
That's when he'll be out on campus, but not with firearm.
Yeah. Is there
leadership from like another police officer in another school or something that going to help tell him what his duties are really going to be or what he needs to be expecting?
This is where on this, I'm calling it a try before you buy. We can't certify him to be really a guardian. We can't. He's going to be limited till he goes through, you know, that. So that's why I think it's a different rate. Oh,
okay.
And we see what his commitment
will
be.
Okay.
Yeah, all of those. But until then, really, he's like what he was talking about. He had pepper spray and a walkie-talkie. he's going to kind of be, you know, yeah. He's going to basically have a walkie-talkie. We're not going to give, you know, one of the pepper spray.
I mean, so. I feel better about that as he's getting trained and as we're...
Yeah. I was just curious if, like, for the from here to the end of school, I mean, are y'all going to have, like, a set? What his duties and responsibilities going
to
be?
Yeah, so we're going to have to work through that. Yeah, it'll be different. The previous person was already a licensed officer, and we could do things. That's not the case here. So it's he's going to be doing different, you know, functions.
He needs us with his seal.
Yeah, but like I said, there's can he go resource officers
and train like Jason was saying? Like Dimmitt's got. I know they've got two. One of them was an ex-highway patrol.
Yes.
I don't know what the other guy did. Talk to him.
Well, that's
shadow him?
Like, yeah.
Could he not go kind of get up how they do it?
They
not
can.
Not necessarily saying that's how we got to do it.
No, not at all. And those things are good. We like what we did previously. We invested heavily in the training because we're different. Even where that person came from, what his background was very different than a 1A rural school district. So we're going to give him some, but really the commitment will be when he goes to the academy, and that's where you'd see more of the
I just wouldn't want to set him up for some kind of failure to overstep what he actually can.
Yes.
Because there is a feeling, responsibility that he should be able to act. Mm-hmm. But what are we going to protect him? You know, mm-hmm. I mean... I'm curious. I don't even know what he can do.
He would be basically until we get him trained. He's going to be kind of like a special aide, I guess, because he can't do anything.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, he really can't.
I mean, just the presence itself is one thing. Yeah, that's going to be good.
Yes.
And I think that's what we're kind of talking about, keeping it that fine line between respect from here. Because that's where it's going to show us whether or not he can do it or not.
Well, the other thing, Si, that might give you a little piece on it, until 2028, he can't do it on his own. So even if he goes through it, he's still got 2 years he'd have to sit out because we're sponsoring him. So what that means is we're the only one he could work for during that time because we're sponsoring him. And the chances of somebody else sponsoring him if he were to walk away from us before paying it back is, you know,
well, I'll elaborate on that. He tried this at the city already, and my wife called T-Cole, and they said, no, don't touch it.
Hmm. So who did she speak to at T-Cole?
Whoever her representative is.
Okay.
That's what she said. I mean, he's done this a few months ago.
Okay.
So I'm all about second chances. I'm not saying he can't do it, but I worry. Because he's been around and he hasn't kept a job very long. I mean, that's just, I know he's had it rough, but he's 20-something years old now, so he's doing his own thing. Or 30, I don't even know.
Received the communication back from the academy that said provisionally they would accept him as a candidate with our sponsorship.
Yeah.
So I think that...
And you talked to Sheriff Maddox about this as...
Well, he is not in, let me be careful, not in a, he's not officially,
right.
But he's told me, you know, that, you know, they, that we're, the depth of candidates are, and then, you know, he kind of has given me off the record, his feelings on it. So I probably in a board meeting wouldn't repeat those, you know, off the record, you know, he said some things, and we wouldn't pursue it if there were saying things negative, you know, on that, but...
Say we were to, like, go ahead and choose him or whatever. So, say he starts, and then he doesn't get the training until after the summer, right, when school's out.
Yes.
So, say we hire him, and he decides, well, from now until May or whatever, that he no longer wants to do this. How does that training, like, if we hire him, he's already, we have to go ahead and give that training to him?
No. Yeah. No.
So if he starts and then he can't stay in, like say he's like, you know what, this is not just for me, whatever. So we're pretty much just cut.
What the contract's for.
Okay.
It gives us complete protection. We can walk away anytime. Really, it does nothing for him. It does, you know, does some things, you know, for us.
So we don't lose. I mean, it's kind of just, we just part ways and that's pretty much it.
Say, hypothetically, something happens this spring and he kind of does... Yeah, not doesn't meet. We can Denver can decide.
At any point, Denver can say
We can. And
how long does the academy take?
It takes about 3 months, I think.
Well, that's all.
That's right. Yeah, I think that. Now,
is that through South Plains?
It's through. This one is through Plainview, actually. Oh. I think. I think that's right. But it may be associated with South Plains. It's ongoing for another, you know, year. There's still more training, and that's where an opportunity, so like what Clint was saying.
How's he able to go to training and still work? I mean,
well, that
maybe
part,
in the summer, it'll kind
of. It'll work itself out. Some of it, we'd have to give him the time, you know, to go do it.
And so then we're going to be paying him to go to school.
We could, but it's not full time when he's doing that. You know, it'd be, you know, and it may be where we could do it all on Mondays. And so that could work out well. And we're talking more details than what I have. I didn't want to presume that everybody would be on board with it. So I did some of the things I thought would be provisionally would be important for y'all to know, which the Academy said they will take him with our sponsorship. We've done the background check. I've talked to him. I was very firm when I visited. I was like, look, because of what happened previously, I said it just made me look bad, and I get that, and I hate it. But I said, so I have to know. I mean, you can't hang me out there to dry. You got to stay to the commitment.
Well, I guess that's why you protect yourself, because you've been, you know, this happened to you once. You can't just go into a line. It's already happened, so pretty much.
That, I mean, that's true, and I don't, you know, probably any more than the rest of you, I don't like being embarrassed on something. So.
Yeah.
Law enforcement agency.
Texas Commission on Law Enforcement is what it stands for.
Okay.
All departments are under that.
That's correct. Yeah, that's right.
If you're a lawman in Texas, you got to go through that.
Do we still have a police department?
Technically, we do. You know,
he's the chief.
Yes,
that's right.
I joked with y'all. I had to get it's called a PID number. So I mean, there's no way we don't upgrade. I mean, there's no way. You know, there's not an upgrade on it. So,
okay. I'm moving to German.
Oh, did we approve the transfer students?
Did yes.
You? Okay, good.
Yeah,
yes.
We did.
Okay, good. Good.
Okay, do we have a second?
I went to say that. He interrupted
me. So, click second. Second. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.